This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Oh, let's keep the good times rolling. Crank that noise up, man. This is the Power Hour, final hour of the show. You better, you bet. Westwood One Sports. New Year's Day. I'm your host, Jarrett Smith, filling in for Nick Costos today. Nick will be back tomorrow. It's been a fun show so far. We've talked a lot of football. Frankly, that's really all I can talk at this time of the year. You couldn't pay me enough to watch the NBA or talk about the NBA right now. I'm just not there yet. College basketball will be a thing for me coming up in 2 or 3 weeks once the NFL season really starts to throttle down. But I am all ball all the time right now. And to help me with this endeavor, very excited to talk to this gentleman. He is Pete Futek, College Football News. Follow him on X at Pete Futek. And Pete, been a minute since we've caught up. Excited to get your thoughts not only on the games today, but what we saw last night. So let's start there. I know a lot of people, we live in a very negative culture. Everyone's like, Ohio State frauds, Ohio State losers. I'm going to take the opposite approach and say Miami winners, because I thought they really outplayed the Buckeyes, especially in the trenches last night. Are you on the positive Ohio or positive Miami bandwagon from last night's game, or do you think Ohio State really screwed the pooch with that loss?
50-50. First of all, hello. How's it going? I'm with you. I don't think that it really is kind of more focused on, you know, the Ohio State losing this, which is kind of the wrong way to put it, because, you know, that's a good team. I mean, it's not like they lost to Tulane. You know, I know they were 9.5-point favorites, and but that's a team that's got NFL dudes. I mean, that offensive line is the real deal, and it showed it late. Reuben Bain and that defensive front is loaded with guys who are going to play at the next level. And it's just, I don't need to get all schmaltzy, but it just seemed like they wanted it more. Like Miami, just like they seem to be more fired up. Whereas the problem with Ohio State all year long was they were very businesslike. You know, they were better than everyone else. They knew it. They didn't have a schedule that had to really challenge them too much. So really the goal was, okay, we're just going to, like, you know, do what we do. The defense is going to be great, and we're going to go from there. But, look, you know, there's a million different parts to this. I'm not buying into the, oh, well, they had time off and they were rusty kind of thing. That's not fair to Miami. Miami just came out and took it to them. I mean, they just had more fire. I mean, I know this is kind of, you know, again, bad, but, like, they were fire, and they were, like, you know, you could tell it. They were really more excited, whereas, you know, Ohio State just never quite had that kind of thing yesterday. And The other thing, too, is whenever you hear the head coaches calling the plays, whether it's Dan Campbell or any, you know, former offensive guy who's in the head coaching mode, that's kind of a problem. And Ryan Day taking over the head coach or the play calling mode didn't really help the cause, especially early on last night.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Pete, about the play calling. I know that we talked about it before the game, like everyone was talking about it, but you really don't know how it's going to play out until you actually watch it. I didn't think Ryan Day called a bad game. I just thought Ohio State, it kind of felt like it was week one, where they were trying to figure out what they could do, and whereas Miami kind of hit the ground running, and Ohio State's schedule wasn't great. Miami's schedule outside the Notre Dame game wasn't that elite either, but then you saw what they did on the road against A&M, and you're like, wow, this team, this defense might be like the real deal, and clearly they are. And I think that's, to me, where this game separated. Miami made the one splash play defensively, whereas they couldn't get a ton of pressure. Ohio State couldn't get a ton of pressure on Carson Beck, couldn't disrupt Carson Beck and make that one splash play defensively on the other side of the ball, and that really was kind of the difference in the game.
And late. I mean, here's the thing. Even if you buy into the idea of, well, they needed time to get going, which is okay. You know, they did. They weren't great early on. Julian Sand couldn't read a phone book yesterday for the first, you know, 20 minutes. But that was kind of the part of the thing this year. And we saw this in the opener against Texas, where they never opened it up. They never, you know, took the car out of third gear. And you can kind of tell that they were, and Ryan Day said as much. He's like, well, you know, we didn't let them open it up. Well, because they didn't have to, because the defense always came through. Well, last night, Miami got the ball with 5 minutes and 3 seconds to go. And that's where your defense, at that point in the game, everything's fully gelled. Everything was rumbling at that point. Sayan was on. I think he was 9 for 9 at a stretch there. The offense was rolling. But the offense stalled on that one drive. But still, it was right there for the taking, and they couldn't come up with the one stop they had to have when Mario Cristobal, who is an offensive line savant, you know, that's what he does, and he has NFL dudes on that offensive front. He just said, okay, offensive line, go win this, and they pounded away. Mark Fletcher pounded away, and the great Ohio State defense, which, you know, didn't give up, you know, that many points this year, couldn't come up with the one big stop. But again, you know, look, it's kind of crazy. The defense was not the problem. The defense was great again. You know, they held them, you know, to 17 points, which in most cases should be fine. There was the pick six in there. But again, for the second straight game, they did the problem. The defense was fine against Indiana. Was fine against Miami for the most part, but one missed kick and turned out to be costly in both things, and one bad, you know, time when they couldn't go for the late stop turned out to be costly.
We're talking to Pete Futek, College Football News. Follow him on X at Pete Futek. All right, Pete, let's get to today's game. Starting to see a little money come in on Texas Tech, down to 1.5. I bet Texas Tech plus 2.5 last night. It kind of felt like this game is going to be the same vibe as what we saw last night, where it's just like two really good defenses going blow for blow. I trust Dante Moore more than I trust Baron Morton, but I also think Texas Tech defensive line might be better than anything we've seen in all of college football this year. So that's kind of where my lean, but I would not be shocked if Oregon and Dante Moore figures out a way to solve it. What's your take on this game between the Red Raiders and the Ducks?
Yeah, I'm going to stall for a second here. I'm going to go back to the other game. I think we might have seen the national championship last night, because Miami can beat everyone. Because now, who's beating Miami? Right, so I don't buy any of the SEC teams, and so Miami's better than Texas Tech. You know, if you could beat, they took out the dude. I mean, you knock out Ohio State, who else is stopping you now? Indiana? Well, let's see today. But that was kind of the thing, and I'm stalling because I want nothing to do with this game. I'm sheepishly taking Texas Tech, but it's like 50.1% to 49.9% coin flippy. I mean, because we don't know. You're right. I mean, going off of last night, what worked? Well, the great pass rush worked, and America, get ready to meet David Bailey and Romello Height if you haven't seen him before. I don't think anybody's seen Texas Tech this year. I mean, it's because when did you see them? The Big 12 championship? Okay. Maybe you watched a little of that great Arizona State loss when they didn't have Baron Morton there. Okay, maybe there's one other thing. But, like, America doesn't know it like it knows Alabama or Ohio State. So there's still a question mark. They didn't play anybody in non-conference play. So we're really kind of going off what they did in two games against BYU, which, okay, fine. They looked great in both. My bigger problem is this is more on Oregon, because all year long, when they played someone tough, they struggled or lost. I mean, they struggled against Iowa. They struggled against Penn State. They lost to Indiana. I mean, they had no problems, you know, rocking Minnesota at home and teams like that. But for the most part, this is one of those teams that just they couldn't seem to find it against the really good teams. And even though they blew out James Madison, had the weird cover where they didn't cover, that was a little telling. I mean, they didn't quite have that mindset yet. Whereas last year, you saw the first round where Notre Dame just came out and just destroyed, you know, India. And then, you know, Ohio State came out and just destroyed Tennessee, where you could kind of tell they were there. And they were, you know, there was going to be complete destruction. Now, again, you know, Indiana did cover last year, but it was just a different type of game. And, you know, James Madison put up way more yards on Oregon than anybody else did last year. And I know they had the starters in the second half, but it's just sort of, you can kind of tell last year that Ohio State had a different mentality than everyone else did. Miami looks like it has that mentality. Let's see what happens today. Oregon's the better team, but again, I'm very sheepishly going Texas Tech.
Yeah, see, I think Texas Tech's defense is better than Oregon's defense, but it's Moore and Morton. Those are the two, right? Like, to me, Baron Morton, when you muddy up the pocket and make things difficult for him, although to be fair, you said it, like, the two games really that Oregon's offense struggled this year, Indiana and Iowa, I mean, those were the defenses that really got into Dante Moore. And in the games where Dante Moore was able to kind of free flow and not experience all that pressure, he was able to play really well. Clearly, someone's listening to you, because as we speak right now, more money's coming in on Texas Tech. We're down to one at a bunch of shops. So this game might, I thought, like, honestly, and we'll get to the other games in a minute here, Pete. I thought these two teams are a coin flip. Games on a neutral, two very evenly matched teams. I was surprised that Oregon was almost a 3-point favorite. To me, this game should close a pick'em. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I mean, but again, we're guessing because we don't know. I mean, really, who Texas? What great offense did Texas Tech shut down? I mean, you know, trust me, these guys are good. Defense is great. Rodriguez is a phenomenal linebacker. This defense is the real deal. If one team dominates the other, I think it's going to be Oregon over Texas Tech. Where Oregon's got more talent overall, they're better. You know, Dante Moore might be the number one overall pick. They've got guys too. They got more speed. I mean, that the skill guys for Oregon can absolutely move. But again, I think the idea, I think it's coming down too, because again, you know, people who, you know, watched them at all know, wait, there's that team's got an amazing pass rush, and we saw what happened last night when an amazing pass rush can screw up an offense. I think that's where people are going with it.
Mm. Alabama, Indiana, and the Rose Bowl. Ironically enough, weather is a factor in this game. I did not expect to say that in the Rose Bowl, but we got a lot of rain here in Vegas last night. Obviously, the Southern California area experiencing it as well. Alabama is going to be a touchdown dog in this game in a non-conference matchup. That doesn't happen a whole lot. Is it fair to say that maybe Indiana is a little bit undervalued because no one really fully trusts them yet, and it's Alabama on the other side, the big name? But I think Indiana has obviously been the better team this year.
I changed this. So I had Miami covering against Ohio State in the last second. I'm like, you know what? Ohio State's going to figure it out. And all of a sudden they'll come up with a late score. I thought exactly what happened last night was going to happen on the reverse, and that then Ohio State was going to cover, and so I changed it last second. So I'm a little fearful of this, but I did this with originally my original thought was kind of like you said, where look, Alabama does have more talent, they've got more NFL guys, they're deeper, they're just not very good. So originally my thought was that, yeah, okay, fine. That's a touchdown. Alabama makes this close and loses. And then I changed it mainly because you're right. The weather is going to be a factor a little bit. But what's crazy is, look, it's the Rose Bowl. It gets what it wants. And apparently the rain's supposed to stop at about 2 o'clock. And then it's supposed to start up again at about 2 a.m. So it might be soggy, but I don't think it's supposed to be, you know, the monsoon that it would have been yesterday during this game. And so even if it's soggy and slow, you know, in that track where it's, you know, the big lush grass, then who does that favor? Well, it kind of favors Indiana because Alabama doesn't have a running game. Alabama doesn't run at all. Could not run. I mean, for all the greatness it, you know, against Oklahoma and pull off the win, it couldn't run a lick against Oklahoma, couldn't run a lick against Georgia in the SEC championship. It's we are dogging Indiana a little bit because it is Indiana, but it's not going to run against it. So either that Alabama passing game clicks and works, or it's going to be a long day. So I sort of think it's going to be ugly, and it's going to take a little while for Indiana to get going, and you're going to have a fired-up Alabama team, which, you know, says, all right, we're going to get to Fernando Mendoza early. And then all of a sudden, Indiana, I think, finds its way and gets there. So I'm going to take Indiana with the touchdown. Again, I changed that pretty much at the last second.
Yeah, how about that? That'd be awesome. I mean, because to me, the Rose Bowl is like the venue in college sports, the game in college sports. Sure. Every year, and that would have sucked if we would have had a monsoon for this game. I think rain, like even if it's wet, I think it favors offense if it's just wet and slippery because the offense knows where it's going and the defense doesn't. But a sloppy game, you would imagine, favors Indiana, right? They can run it better. They can stop the run better. Alabama can't run it. Like, I think if it is raining, and I don't know what the weather gods are going to give us, but if it is a little bit sloppy, a little bit mucky, that obviously favors the Hoosiers, right?
Well, the turf's different. I mean, remember, you're not playing on, you know, any sort of field turf or anything like that that does make things slippery. It does, you know, the turf is lush. I mean, it's hard to run in that stuff when it's designed for perfect sunny weather in Southern California. So neither team grounds and pounds very well, but the short mid-range game. And so really what you're talking about is if both running games might struggle, well, who throws the ball better? And certainly, Alabama, Ty Simpson, they try to do the deep ball and all that. But Mendoza on the short mid-range shots, yeah, I think they're going to be a little better. And I think they're just going to get out-coached. And I don't think there's going to be that layoff problem happening here. I just kind of think that, you know, Indiana's not going to be amazing, but they'll be good enough in this.
Yeah, it should be a really fun game. I think I lean Indiana, but of all the four games this week, that was the one that I had the least feel for. I feel pretty strongly that Texas Tech's my side. I feel pretty strongly about this night game that we'll get to in a second, and I felt really strongly about the under last night. I thought the defenses were going to rule the day. I didn't think Ohio State's offense would be as bad as they were.
That's the play, maybe, because the point total has not changed. I don't know if it changed today, but it was at 48.5.
Nope. A little bit of a tick down.
Yeah, you'd think that everyone would start hammering, look at the rain and be like, wait a minute, this is going to, you know, probably be. I mean, plus Indiana does play low-scoring games. You know, they did beat, you know, Iowa in a game that was fewer than 48 points, and they beat in a Oregon, you know, relatively low scoring. So they're able to do that. So 48 just seems like a lot. I don't think we're going to get this sort of track meet that many are going to be predicting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamavah Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamavah Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamavah.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Well, unders in general, Pete, have been in the entire bowl season. I think they're 22-15 now, I think, something like that.
Brutal.
I mean, it's been an under vibe. It's been an under vibe.
Until I pick them, and then all of a sudden they go crazy, like, you know, Michigan, you know, Tennessee. But, like, I can't pick a point. I'm great at point total. That's what I'm best at, and I can't pick them to save my life. I've been kind of on fire lately with the picks, but at least the ATS, but, like, boy, you're right. You're guessing because these point totals, there's no rhyme or reason to them to the regular season this year.
All right, let's get into the late game because coaching obviously is going to be a big factor here. Of course, no Lane Kiffin for Ole Miss. Kirby Smart and this defense for Georgia, Glenn Schumann's done a fantastic job, I think, over the back half of the year. I don't know if any defense has improved as much as Georgia's had over the last few weeks. Facing a Kirby Smart team for a second time is never easy. Can Ole Miss figure out a way to get over the hump against Georgia tonight? Line's still hovering around 6.5.
I'll admit that it might be personal bias in that I have the least interest in this game because it's a redo. I don't think the SEC is that great this year. And so I don't think part of the problem is, yeah, the defense has been great against the SEC. You know what? Now look at the Alabama quote gauntlet that they went through. Every one of those teams in the gauntlet of that schedule lost their bowl game to Alabama. You know, Tennessee did not beat a team that's going to finish with a winning record. So, like, yes, the Georgia defense has stepped up, but it's not like the SEC is great. But in this one, yeah, of course, it's SEC versus SEC, so it doesn't really matter. I just think Georgia comes out and was like, okay, that was cute and all, but, you know, we're winning this easily. Because it wasn't – they tricked them in the first meeting. Okay, well, oh my gosh, Ole Miss was winning after three quarters. Well, yeah, that's because they let him punch himself out. It was coaching genius where, okay, Ole Miss, you fly up and down the field, but you're only going to have the ball for like 16 minutes for most of this. And then all of a sudden they got tired. And what happened is that defense didn't have any gas left. And look, that loss kind of propelled Ole Miss because Kiffin figured it out, where he's like, wait a minute, I just gassed my defense and we didn't have anything, because then Georgia just roared back in the fourth quarter. And the next week against Oklahoma, lo and behold, what did Kiffin do? He slowed it down enough to make sure that the time possession battle wasn't so lopsided and his defense was fully rested in the fourth quarter. So that was more of a case of, you know, a loss can be a positive because it changed the way Kiffin coached the rest of the season. Well, now you got Golding in there. They're going to try getting that offense going. And this is a case where I do think the time off is going to matter a little bit because that Georgia defense is fully rested. Ole Miss got its win. It did what it had to do. It won at home against Tulane to kind of exorcise the Kiffin demon. And I think tonight is this is the one I think I'm most confident in, is that Georgia wins this by one on a touchdown.
I agree. And also, the script writers, Carson Beck against Georgia in the semis. I mean, there's no way that they let Georgia lose this game, right? Pete Futek, always great to catch up with you, bud.
Yeah, have a good one.
No, go ahead. Finish your point, pal. We got time.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to say, how about that? I'm sorry. I've had hard out. But script writers, you know, what happens if we get, okay, Miami's the best team in the ACC, and we get the ACC best team, Big Ten champ, Big 12 champ, and SEC champ. So all of a sudden, the Final Four just becomes basic. It's the four best teams in the respective conferences.
It honestly, I kind of hope it plays out that way, because I feel like the way college football is going, the conferences mean less and less. But that would actually be like a, hey, maybe we should just allow the best team in each conference to just go into the Final Four and compete for the championship. That would be a fun twist in the plot to end the year. Always excited and enthusiastic to talk to this gentleman, Pete Futek, College Football News. Follow him on X at Pete Futek. Good luck today, my friend, and I will talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Great one. Have a great one.
Good stuff, brother. Always good to catch up with Pete. And some great thoughts on the games today. All right, when we come back, I will give you all of my thoughts. Stream of consciousness. We have three games, one of them kicking off in about 35 minutes down there in Miami between Texas Tech and Oregon. The Orange Bowl. Someone's going to squeeze the orange today. Who's it going to be? We'll have Rose Bowl and Sugar Bowl picks, too, on the other side. 30-minute sprint left to go here in the Power Hour. You better you bet here on Westwood One Sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.